the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, Phil.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Philip, and good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Pat Summerall's Comeback Award and all the stuff to see.
Hey.
Thank you, pardon.
Thank you, pardon.
David Letterman's physical therapist. Remember, first fist, then mount. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast, nationwide, via Westwood One, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. Don and Mike show coming to you from the crappy rundown studios, tenement slum they are like, WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. That's our home station. We do the show every day via satellite. Westwood One brings it to 55 stations throughout America, yes. And we have 5 million national listeners. We thank you for your patronage. And, of course, Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy, you from it today, making a cameo appearance, slinking down the hallway on his belly like the reptile that he is, carpetbagger Ken Stevens.
Ken Stevens!
He's around here today.
Yeah, we're seeing him far too much.
Here he is to my left and to your right. Well, you know, this man is loaded with gas. There is our friend, Buzz the Farter Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Well, Buzz, you finally have made the big time. You finally were featured in a promo that ran all weekend long.
Yes, I heard that. And I've heard from Fox they want to do a new show called When Good Food Goes Bad.
Today is Monday, January 24. Our telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. We will take your phone calls in a second. I got a ton of weekend stuff to get to. We actually have some guests coming on the show. Today, Ray Rhodes, the guy who used to be the coach of the Packers and the Eagles, going to be hired by the Redskins today. He'll be making his first media appearance on our show.
Wow. Excellent.
Also coming up, not, I don't know if this is today or not, but in the next few days, I was given a list. You know, generally when I have a meeting with our producer about guests, unless it's someone who is absolutely at the top of the entertainment food chain,
right,
current-wise, mm-hmm, we just don't take them.
Like The Undertaker.
But, yeah. But if it's old guys,
right,
I'll take them all.
Okay.
And today we had a meeting, and I approved Buddy Epson. You knew that. Buddy Epson's coming on the show this week.
Hey, yeah, we said last week when you mentioned that would be someone that I would have said when they left our studio the last time that perhaps they won't be back.
Also, Jerry Mather. I think we've had him on before.
Yeah.
The real Harry Morgan.
Cool.
Dennis Weaver.
McLeod!
Mr. T. He hasn't been on our show in about 10 years.
We could ask him about the, his yard.
Andy of Mayberry is coming back on the show.
Good.
And Max Bayer Jr., as of now, officially refuses to come back on this show.
Wasn't it supposed to bury the hatchet or something?
I thought
like that?
The feud was over, but apparently what happened was he got word to Westwood One that he wanted to end the feud. Then we called him and left him goofy messages on his answering machine.
And he didn't like it.
And that started the feud all back up again.
All right.
So we are still feuding with TV's Jethro.
Come on, Jethro.
With Max Bodine. Bodine.
But at least you're on good terms with Yuri Geller now.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, patch that one up, we did.
And that was
one-on-one. That was a total surprise when we called Yuri Geller in his car.
All right, now, before we get to the weekend stuff, and before the pie in the face.
What pie in the face?
Which is coming right up.
Yeah.
I do have a funny tape I want to play for you.
Okay.
Mike the TV boy, who calls us all the time and plays tapes of different celebrities, he actually called the Larry King show last Monday.
Oh, good.
This is not a fake call. This is a real call.
Mm-hmm.
Mike the TV boy called Larry King last Monday, January 17th, when Bob Dole was the guest.
Bob Dole!
And this is Mike the TV boy dropping our name last Monday on Larry King.
Hey, this is John Maryland. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a great call. I thought it was just to mention two local disc jockeys. But,
oh, I see.
Picking up on that, tonight on this program, when we asked you about... That you had told me before that you were in the Viagra test.
They don't want to talk about boners and stuff.
Listen, you got to listen to it again, though. Listen to it without laughing, because it's funny.
Oh, God.
Larry gets so flustered.
Oh, my goodness. Erectile twink.
I think that was a gag call from two local DJs.
Let me have this thing reach you. Here it is again.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Daughter Mike Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gay call. I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh, I see. Picking up on that, tonight on this program, when we asked you about what you had told me before, that you were in the Bible.
You know that. Anybody catch the subtlety on that thing?
Oh, yeah.
When he says Bob Dole, there's a little bit of a...
Bob Dole. God and Mike, honor your erectile click. That was a gag call, I believe.
Two local disc jockeys.
Please.
Please, Larry, you know who we are.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Daughter Mike Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gay call. I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh, I see.
They mentioned two local disc jockeys. No, they're two national disc jockeys who you hate, Larry.
Right.
Which is why he called those local disc jockeys.
That's exactly right.
That's fine. Good job, Mike, the TV boy. Nice dumb guy voice he was using in that call also.
Hi, Larry.
Hello, Larry, Bob Dole.
All right, that's funny. Keep them coming. Mike, the TV boy. Well, this weekend, listen, at least we don't owe Nancy from CBS any money.
No.
Jim Nance.
That's the good part for me.
Jim Nance from CBS did not take any of our money for charity this weekend.
Okay.
We won the bet with him. St. Louis beat Tampa Bay. And, as I predicted, Tennessee beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, foolish of me to put all my eggs in Mark Brunell's basket. Mark Brunell's shaky knee brace basket.
Told you that guy's a retard.
Oh, man, and, you know, we had a little conversation during the game when Mark Brunell, you know, freaked out. I almost said the F word, I swear to God.
When he got sacked for that thing, the phone rang.
That's when I called you.
I wanted known that you called me first.
Yes.
Many times I picked up the phone and thought... Should this be the thought? When Tennessee went up 17-14, I actually picked up the phone and dialed the first 3 digits of your phone number. And I thought, you know what?
Did you stop because you thought that was the nice guy thing to do, or did you stop because you thought it might be a jinx?
Yeah. Total John, I don't care about
that. That would have been too close.
I thought, no, don't do it. Well, then Brunell gets sacked for the safety. I pick up the phone, and of course it's Mike.
I say to Don, I said, my man! That's my man! Yeah!
Brunell, because, you know, we both suffered through him in the fantasy league. So we commiserated about that, about how bad Brunell sucks, and how really fun it is to watch Jacksonville lose.
He was just a total gig.
So I hang up the phone, and then the next play is the free kick, where the guy for Tennessee runs it back 80 yards. So Tennessee is now up, 26-14.
In the blink of an eye.
Well, immediately now, I know Tennessee's got this game won.
Mm-hmm.
So I call right back. I mean, I haven't been off the phone with Mike maybe 2 minutes.
Right.
Because Brunell goes down for the safety. They do the free kick. The guy runs it back for the touchdown. I call Mike back. First time I call, he goes, bring, bring. Pick up, hang up.
Oh.
So I think, oh, now... Come on, don't be that bad at sports. I called right back.
Uh-huh.
And this time, I got his machine.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Because the phone rang, and I picked it up, and I knew it was you. I knew it was nobody else. But and I also knew, if I hung up the phone, you'd be doing what you're doing right here, right now anyway. So what does it matter? So I picked it up, and I didn't hear anything. Right. And then this morning... At 10 o'clock, because I've been in the house the whole time. I mean, I've been in the house all night. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere this morning. So I pick up the phone, and I got my little doot-doot-doot-doot, says message. And I'm like, who the hell would call? Because there's a message on there, and it's you. It's you. So, I mean, after I'd gotten over this, and I'm sort of like getting used to the idea of taking the pie, and I forgot what your message was, but it was something like, I know you're there. Did you go out? Where are you? Why are you not answering the phone? And I don't know what happened to the phone. I swear to God.
Well, you know what?
I would have taken my medicine, believe me.
So here's the thing. I thought that maybe at first I gave you the benefit of the doubt.
That I called you from somewhere else or something
right.
like that.
So I start 69.
Mm-hmm.
And I start 69. It's your phone number. So I thought, oh, that's out of a gun. Because the first time I called back.
Right.
And it was just a pickup and a hang up, which I thought... Was you being pissed because the guy had just run back that kick for the touchdown?
Well, the only thing I'm thinking is that somebody else picked up the phone and then it stayed off the hook. And when you called back the second time, did you get the immediate answering machine?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. So, I mean, it was a... you know, today as like the reminder. I mean, I was, you know, prepared for the pie, but I mean, when I got the answering machine, it was like, where are you? Just wanted to call. Another bet. I've had a bad string of bets. I've had a worse string of bets.
Even though you haven't, I had my head shaved, man.
That's one bet, though.
Yeah, but that's a big bet.
But you won the one against me with Dennis Murphy. So, I mean, so far, I've had a real bad string.
Well, Mike, we have...
What flavor?
Chocolate pie.
Mm. Is it chocolate?
The chocolate pie.
All right, let me take my glasses off.
Chocolate meringue pie? Yes.
Where dost thou want me to receive the pie?
I'll give it to you right over there.
Okay.
All right, there you go, Rob. I will be on microphone number three, Robbie.
Okay, you
know. It's a lovely pie.
Right. Here we go.
Mike's lost right. The bet.
I have promised Mike, as I hope he would do with me,
yes,
that I won't, like, slam it in his face and break his nose.
We actually, didn't we have someone one time you gave a pie to and there was an injury?
There was
a bloodied nose. Is that what it was?
But at least I'm going to rub it in a little bit.
You can go ahead. I'm ready to take the pie. Hold
this
on.
This is for Jacksonville.
All right. I brought a change of shirt.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Yes.
Have you ever given me a pie on this show?
No, it's fun.
I don't think so.
Christ, it's great fun.
All right,
okay,
here we go.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Yes.
Gently.
Here we go.
Right. He's torturing me.
The pie
me. Okay, all right. Okay, this is it, really. Here we go.
Okay.
Wait,
let me take a breath before. All right.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Well done. Hey, it looks just like on TV.
Hello. Wipe the cream out of your eyes.
Oh, good golly.
Oh, man.
And chocolate on his nose.
Delicious. Is that good pie?
Looks good.
That is very good pie.
Thank you, Tennessee Titans.
That was well done.
Thank you, Tennessee. No nose injuries?
No. You know, I know you got.
You got the comedic value out of it?
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt me. And I'll next time, if we ever have a pie, I like the pie best, incidentally. I mean, I sure you do.
Look at me right now. I still like them.
Is there any kind of towel or anything like that?
Of course
not.
Here you go.
Here's
a paper towel for you, Mike.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Thank you, Rob.
Because we care. We actually picked up a couple of paper towels from the men's room.
Thank you very much.
You know, the entire pie, the real pie part of the pie, mm-hmm, meaning the crust,
right,
the creamy chocolate center,
mm-hmm,
all of that slipped as I wiped it into my face.
The meringue is all that got on my face.
Yeah, the meringue is the only thing that got on the face. There's an actual pie on the floor. Someone tell Broyhill, I'm sure he'll come in like a dog and eat it off the floor.
You did a good job, though, of wrapping the pie around his face. It was in that tinfoil pan, and that way you got the maximum amount of meringue on Mike's face. Good job.
Jesus. See, now you're getting a little pissed.
Just a little bit.
Is it sticky?
Oh, boy.
Don't blame me.
I'm not blaming
you. Blame Mark Brunel.
All right, it's his fault.
Yeah, Brunel. That MF-er.
I think I'm okay. I can see it.
Okay. Brunel strikes again.
All right, hold on.
Mike's making his way back to his microphone.
What a great moment in radio history.
It was.
Huzzah to the Tennessee Titans.
Right, if we get, hey, Rob, if we can get some more paper towels in here, I'd really appreciate it.
It's a real thing.
You're only seeing the pies, so we'd have a sauna in here, you know. But I'm getting the pie. Rob's like, here's a towel, you know. But John, if you're getting the pie, I'll get a full steam shower in here.
I'm sure Rob would take his shirt off for me.
He would. He would indeed.
I'm sure he would.
Want a shirt?
Huh?
Want a shirt?
Sure. Yes. Yes. Give Mike your shirt.
There is no towel.
No, I do. There's no towel?
Well, there's no towel.
Rob has a layered look. He has a T-shirt on underneath his
wonderful red and white plaid shirt.
I don't think meringue would stain, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just touch on it.
You can't see Rob in his undershirt.
Yeah, nice, no?
Why don't you give me the undershirt and keep that on?
Oh, because then he'd have to take the hoodie and see his big black.
No, but I was not.
So transparent.
I was no
boy down to his skin.
I swear to God, I was not doing that. I was saying it was a more viable option because I know you like your Eddie.
Rob, I always thought you wore the wife beater.
No,
I always thought, you know that brand of T-shirt that they call the wife beater?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it.
You know the old man? Okay, here's...
Yeah.
Okay. That was almost worth getting a pie in the face.
All right,
you're able to see Rob with his shirt off.
All that and a pie, too.
It should have entered the hairy ass contest, Rob. Your back is as hairy as that guy's ass was.
Oh, well, you remember the back was recently waxed.
Right. All right, Mike is now getting all the spooge off his face.
Terrific job. There we go.
All right.
You still got a little bit on your eye.
Forehead.
And your forehead. There you go.
And
all done?
Hold on.
Still a little bit.
Right here. Yeah, right there. Right on your eye.
Look, fresh as a daisy.
Got it.
You know, it's not a citrus bite, but there's no particular thing right now.
Also down here on the herring and skin, you still have.
Tension?
Yes, you still have.
There you go.
Neck. All done. All done.
Neck done.
Clean right. as a baby
down.
You, Rob. I appreciate
welcome.
That. You are welcome.
Thanks.
Rob, you know, for a big man, very little odor. Very little body odor coming out of this t-shirt.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you to stop and think that that garment you're wrapping all over your face is fit at Rob's armpit most of the day.
Don't I know it. Why do you think I asked for the undershirt instead of the overshirt?
Mike, it worked just like you planned.
Rob and I actually designed this whole thing before the show.
Well, next time you have to give up his pants.
My pants.
I'll scrub my mouth with his brief.
Mike calls me. He says, I've got a way that I can clean my face and get you shirtless in one fell swoop.
Oh, my God.
Way to go. Jacksonville sucks.
Thanks for that bulletin.
Wish we had an affiliate there. I could yell that from the highest mountaintop.
Well, we used to. What pain?
Mark Brunell. You know, you suffered with Mark Brunell, but I'd had my share of Mark Brunell agony this football season, and this was just the culmination of all of that.
Right. He sucks.
He does suck.
He sucks. More power to Tennessee. I thought St. Louis was going to lose that second game yesterday, for Christ's sake.
You know, going in, I thought they were going to win it big, and now I really do think it might be one of the better Super Bowls. You never know, but it might be one of the best Super Bowls in a long time. I like, you know, they talk about no dynasties and all that in the NFL, but I like the parity. I like the way that, you know, any of these teams, who would have thunk it? You know, St. Louis and Tennessee, it's great.
You will hear us from Atlanta, from Rudy Martsky's Super Bowl party that will be broadcast this Friday on the show from Atlanta, live via tape delay, since Rudy is having a Super Bowl show on Thursday evening.
All right.
So we will tape the whole thing Thursday night, and you will hear it Friday on tape delay, live via tape, from Atlanta.
Good.
Okay, so that's that. The pie in the face thing is done. I played you the Mike the TV Boy tape.
Right.
Oh, let me see. I want to do this before I tell you about the weekend. I found a killer website that I want Buzz to pull up because I want everybody to, you know what? I will save it for a moment.
Okay.
Keep your fingers at the ready there, Father Time.
I will.
I'm going to see if maybe I can pull the internet up on my computer here so we don't have to wait for the slow response again of Father Time.
That's the only steam-powered monitor in the history of the net.
But I found a great website over the weekend where you take a test.
Mm-hmm.
You take these personality tests. The first test you take is to tell you which celebrity, let me see, what does it say? It says, celebrity matchmaker for men. So you answer 16 questions about yourself. It takes about 3 minutes. And the computer tabulates your answers and comes up with the celebrity who you would be best mixed with.
Really?
Who your perfect match is.
That's pretty cool.
My wife did it, and the name that came up was Will Smith.
Will Smith would be her best match.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you do it?
I did it. And it was Jennifer Lopez came up.
Hey, congratulations, Jennifer Lopez.
Right, and they give you reasons why based on your answers.
Are they complex questions?
It's like, what kind of food do you like?
All right.
How would you rather spend an evening? When you look at a girl's drawer? I mean, we'll go through it on the air.
Okay.
And they also had another great one that I took that I want you guys to take. What breed of dog are you?
Oh, fantastic. Cool.
And I will wait to tell you what breed of dog I am, because I am not proud of. I'm very proud to tell you my celebrity match is Jennifer Lopez.
That's interesting.
But I'm not proud to tell you about
it. I am Jack. I want to do that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
About the dog. So we will do that in just a second. Weekend. You know what? Here you go. Use the noodle.
Yes.
Use the noodle right now. Go break now.
Good.
Break now so that we have plenty of time. Oh, you have meringue on your shoe. Oh, don't lick it on your shoe.
Oh, my
God. Oh, no!
Oh,
no!
Oh,
now he's spitting it out.
No,
okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
There was something on it. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. Hey, there was meringue on the tip of my shoe.
It was like dog do.
He took his shoe off.
I went to do the meringue off.
It looked like there was cream, and then I did that, and there was something hard on my tongue, like a pebble.
Hold on. No tapping touch those right there. Let's clear the lines right now. Give you your first chance to win up to $10,000. Do you hear me, Ken Stevens, you carpetbagger?
Ken is in the building today.
We will, as a matter of fact, in this go-round of the Secret Celebrity Laugh in honor of Ken, we'll go for $10,000.
That is a surprise.
Just to piss off the carpet bag. Right, give you a shot at 10 grand right now if you're the 100th caller, and we wish you good speed. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This is the dawn.
Absolutely.
And Friedman, well, this is like one of the only chances that she has to get up and just go off. And I said, Barbara Streisand does this all the time, anytime you see her anywhere.
It's always, you know, well, when I was doing my first film, and I wanted to thank my first director, who was just wonderfully marvelous.
Yeah, and it was totally out of hand. In fact, all the acceptance speeches.
My husband,
majority,
Jim.
They were totally out of line. I mean,
Mr. Double A Beep Beep NCO.
Who, she said something along the lines of, who still lets me, loves me for me, even though I'm gaining weight. And you saw, you know what a statement to make to emasculate your man. You know, even if you are getting fat and sloppy, you have to justify your own existence on the back of your man. They shoot to him, and he's like, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, happy me.
He's like the Stedman Graham of the West Coast.
And you know that he, once that star trip wears off, once he gets used to that, now he's probably in that real trench, that real Barbara Streisand trench, where he's just hating life.
Kimbo, come here, Mama wants some sugar.
Rub my feet. Between the toes. Between the toes. Would you massage my corns?
Hey, listen, are you ready to go for $10,000?
Yes, I am. Are you going to offer me $10,000?
Yes, we are.
Oh, how nice.
Yes, we are. Simply because Ken Stevens is in the building today.
Okay, so I can dedicate to Ken if I do win.
All right, good luck. You'll play for it. You'll play for $10,000.
You'll pay.
And if you win, I don't doubt I have to pay. What?
I want Mike to sing like Dylan Worley for me.
Your wish is my command.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
For $10,000, here you go.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
Now, I want you to know, even though I've been instructed never to give away the $10,000 again without running it by manager, we're doing it today simply because the reptile is in the building. So we wish you Godspeed.
I wasn't really doing it, really.
For $10,000, who is that?
Jodie Foster?
Would you please repeat that?
Jodie Foster?
Could you be more specific?
Jodie Foster is in the Coppertone Girl, Contact movie, all those movies. I can't remember. Now you're making me nervous by keeping me waiting.
You.
Not Jodie Foster.
Okay,
yeah, he's jumping around back there. I tell you, I don't know who it is either, and so he's running around back there, and I thought maybe,
Not Jodie Foster. Good guest. Please remember that every guest is good to
hear you. Thank you.
And we thank you for listening. Hold the line, please, for your Sopranos stuff. I can't believe you didn't watch Sopranos last night.
That really pissed you off.
Really good episode. Well, I want to come in and talk about it.
I know. I'm sorry.
You had to watch the Golden Globes.
I was having a bad day. You know, after Jacksonville won, I was just all discombobulated and stuff like that, and the kids were running around, and, basically that's not the reason. It was just a late night Saturday.
Gotcha.
All the cells were all jumbled up on Sunday.
Oh, I've gotcha. Okay. Okay, listen, the weekend for me, I actually had a cocktail on Saturday evening.
Good for you.
That I will tell you about. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah to a vodka martini, which I never have, but wow. I had one anyway.
High octane.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
The weekend. Okay. A lot of my weekend, Saturday, totally devoted to whatever my honey wanted to do.
Well, that's very nice.
That's kind of the way that it's played itself out throughout the week. That Saturday, no matter what boring, tedious task she wanted to do, I was going to be a part of it. So we went to a store where we decided what kind of trim we were going to get.
You mean you went to a sex store?
I wish.
Uh-huh.
No, like in our basement.
Oh, that kind of trim.
She wants to put some kind of trim up on top of the wall.
Crown molding.
No, not crown molding. No, there's trim
like those little floral stencils and stuff?
Right. Right, so we had to go to the store. We had to do and all day Saturday. Here's the thing. We just painted the basement. And when I say we, I mean we, because we did it ourselves.
It was an 18-year project, though, wasn't it?
It was
a basement?
The worst weekend of my life. We did it last summer. We painted the entire basement.
Didn't you, though, seriously? Didn't you go on the air and say you needed paint or something like 6 years ago?
It was more like 2 years ago, yeah, but guys brought by, gallons of paint. And
you went into your garage, right?
And we never used it until finally last summer.
Right.
We decided, let's do it. Let's paint.
That's what I thought.
Basement.
Okay.
So we just painted the basement last summer. Mm-hmm. 6 or 7 months ago, a year ago coming up this summer. So she says to me, you know what? Since we got a new couch, I think we have to repaint the basement. So we went round and round about that. Then I said, okay, you know what? If you want to do it, I'll do it. Just tell me what color. So all day Saturday, I mean maddening, absolutely maddening.
she would come at me with different colors that she had put together. She'd be like, here, as you can see, this is an off-white, and I've mixed in a little green, and what I've done is taken a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And I take the sponge, and I dip it in the brown paint, and then I just kind of just splotch it all over. Now, what do you think of that?
The textured look.
Yeah, uh-huh. And every time I said to her the same thing, I think what we have down there now
is fine.
It's fine. We just painted this basement a year ago. I like the color that it is now. It's fine. But, I mean, I am not exaggerating when I say 25 times.
A little labor-intensive, what she's proposing, too.
Yeah, and that also weighed heavily in my decision.
Yeah, sure. I think so.
25 times I said it. She came to me, because she had scrapling all over the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
where she would mix the paints and do all this other. Because she'd go, what do you think of this? And every time I'd say, that's fine, whatever you want, but I like what we have.
Right.
So finally, after 3 hours of this, she comes to me, like it's her idea, and she says, you know what? I'm thinking about it. I think we should just keep the basement the color that it is and just get some different trim for the top.
You like that, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so I said, fine. She says, let's go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the store. I refused to go in the store. That's where I drew the line. I said,
so it's anything she wants, but it's not totally anything she
right,
wants.
No, I mean, I've already sat through 3 hours of this crap with what color is the basement going to be. I drove her to the store. I said, I'll be right here. You can look out the window of the store, and you'll see me right here. It's almost like we're shopping together.
You drop her right off curbside?
Yeah, there was a parking spot right in front of the store.
Oh, that's cool.
So I said, you go ahead. She said, come look at this with me. I said, honey, we've already picked out the kind of trim we're getting. Just go in, pick it up, take you 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I can't go in any store in 5 minutes, and this is the point I'm going to get to on this. And she couldn't. She was in there 20 minutes.
Right.
So she gets done, and she says, now let's go to Best Buy. So we go over to Best Buy, which is a real, just a fuster clock. No way around it. Everybody goes to Best Buy on Saturday.
Right.
Everybody goes. There's no place to park. The place is jammed.
Everything's picked over.
Yeah, you can't park. The guys in the blue shirts.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They're no help.
Right.
They have no idea what to do. So it takes us an hour.
Guys in the blue shirts.
Best Buy. 1 hour in Best Buy.
You got anything good, though? That's a good store to get good stuff.
Well, I got to give my wife credit. We had a giant half-hour pseudo-argument in Best Buy because she wanted to buy this thing for her and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
This camera that you put on the top of the computer. And in essence, it turns your computer into a picture phone.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And it was relatively inexpensive. It was like $60. It wasn't the money that bothered me.
And it gives you still shots, right, as you're talking.
Well, she said it gives you free flowing video. And I said to her, honey, this thing, there's no way. It's not the Jetsons. We're not to this point yet. I don't want to buy this. But at this point, she insists on getting a guy with a blue shirt. So the guy with the blue shirt comes over, and my wife says, my husband doesn't think that this is streaming video. My husband thinks that this is just pictures. The guy with the blue shirt looks at us, and he's like the Letterman dumb guy voice.
Yeah.
He just goes, I don't know.
And there's the standard answer.
I'll go get somebody.
Right.
So we stand there for 10 more minutes.
I wonder why everybody's going to be shopping on the net in about 10 years. That's the reason.
Nobody comes over to help us. So finally she says, screw it. She's going to buy these things. I'm opposed to it. The line is like 8,000 people long.
Mm-hmm.
We get out of Best Buy, and I said to her, now, we've gone to the trim place for you. We went to Best Buy to get this computer thing, this piece of crap that you insist on buying. Now I'm going to show you how easy it is to shop when you are a man. And when you know what you want, and when you go to a store that caters to men. And I'm going to give them a plug. The store that I went to is the Men's Warehouse.
Men's Warehouse, that's George Zimmer.
Right. I'm George Zimmer. We pulled into the parking lot.
They're a big sponsor, this they are.
We pulled into the parking lot. I had to get a couple of shirts, a couple of pairs of pants,
right,
and a couple of belts.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my wife, you timed me.
Is that where you got your new pants?
Yeah. I said, I'm going to be in this store 8 minutes tops.
Right.
I'm going to come out with two pairs of pants, two shirts, socks, and two belts.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Go. And I didn't run out of the car. I walked out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beauty of a store, and I'm going to give them another plug. They're realizing that men are different from women.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in the store. The first thing the guy says, you know, they assault you when you come in that store.
Yeah, it was service intensive.
The guy says, can I help you? I said, listen, I'm in a hurry. I've been shopping all day with my wife. I need two pairs of pants, size 36-30. I need two shirts, 16.5-inch neck, about a 32-inch on the collars, and I said, and I need two 36-inch belts, and I need three pairs of socks.
Boom, boom, boom. Guy takes me over. I said, what about these? I said, they're nice. I'll take them.
Right.
Showed me another pair of pants. I said, you know what? Those are nice. I'll take them.
That's good.
Takes me over to the shirt. I say, I'll take that, that, that. We go to the belt. I'll take that, that, and that. I say, yeah, pick up a thing of those black socks. I'll take those. We go over. I
put those
pants. We check out.
Six of those beer mugs. Hey, you buy a hat like this, get a free bowl of soup.
We check out. I get back to the car, and my wife is pissed. I say, what are you mad about? She says, you have been gone 9.5 minutes. 9.5 minutes.
Pretty damn good. You told them what you wanted, and they delivered.
Yeah, right? Fast. And they realized, that's the only store that I was in all day on Saturday where they realized
right.
that the basic difference between men and women is that for men, when you go shopping, mm-hmm. it's not a social experience. You just want to go in, you want to get the goddamn product, and you want to get out of the store.
Right. Bingo, that's good.
So we go home, we arrive back at home. My son is going to be spending the night at a friend's house, going to a dance. So I'm getting ready to take him over to the friend's house. And Frida says, oh, hey, hold on. Before you leave, why don't you come say hi to my mom? And I said, what do you mean? Is she on the phone? She said, no, she's on the computer. And I'll be damned if she didn't hook that thing up. That's a good picture.
So she's talking and you're hearing her talk?
I am seeing her. It is not still frame, but it is not like watching someone on a movie. It is 75% watching somebody on a movie. And when you look at yourself in the monitor, when you are just, because you can stand in front of the camera and look at yourself on the video monitor on your computer, it looks like you're on TV.
Really?
It looks just like a video camera recording.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
And so what you can do then, you make these movies of yourself, and you can send them to people. And then people can play them on their computer.
And her mom had one, too, down there?
So all weekend they were talking to each other like the Jetsons on this.
That's pretty neat.
And
that'll probably be getting better and better.
Yes, it will.
Too.
And it was relatively cheap, so I got to give my wife some props for that.
It's like Tom Selleck says, you will.
Right. It was a good purchase. No, I take the boy out to the friend's house. I come back home. She's still on this thing with her mother. I said, honey, you know, dinner reservation, 7 o'clock.
Right.
Big date night. We compared our list. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get something. Let's go. And after all of that crap that I went through last week about what we were going to do, we ended up going to the same restaurant that we always go to.
Right.
And we ended up having a really, really great time.
Excellent. Usually 90% chance of
that. It was wonderful. We got there. We had a nice meal. I had this big, gigantic-ass martini. Feeling good. My wife even had to admit that, yes, even though I'm a creature of habit, I know what I like.
Right.
She had a good time at this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that even remotely went wrong at this restaurant was when we pulled up. We pulled up to Valet Park, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock on Saturday night. The guy comes over and opens the door for my wife. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get the phone out of my car to carry my phone with me in case Bart needs to call us. The guy comes over by my side. He opens the door. I get out, and I realize the car is still in drive.
Oh.
And the car is now driving away without
That's
me.
That's a downhill street.
The car is driving
That's going
away.
Straight downhill.
Driving away without me, and there's ice. So I run for the car, and woo, down I fall. Down goes Frasier.
Did you rip anything?
No. Thank God that the car was only going about 5 miles an hour.
and there
was like a, what do you call it? Like the gutter.
Yeah.
The car.
So the wheels were turned into the curb a little bit.
The car stopped when it got to the gutter. Otherwise,
you'd be down. You'd be down all the way back. You'd go down to the river.
Yeah. No. We were at Tyson's Corner.
Oh, you were at Tyson's.
We were at Tyson's Corner. But
okay.
There's a bit of a slope. And if there hadn't been that gutter there, very good chance that my car would have rolled over a hill and gone on to Route 7. Probably killed somebody. I'd be in jail for that.
Oh, my God.
We had a brief laugh
excited.
About that.
Excited. You know, you're all set. You're ready to go in. Why put the car in park?
No, I forgot.
That before. I mean, you forget sometimes.
I totally forgot. And then
my mom did it when she got run over.
The guy says, hey, your car is moving. And I said, oh, my God. And I said, I got it. I took two steps towards it, and boom, down I go.
Were there others around besides the valet?
Of course there were others around. Of course. Really. Like, everybody was either coming in or going out of the restaurant at exactly that moment. So we got the car and wiped myself off. That guy didn't get my school clothes messy or rip anything.
Good.
We went in. We had that. And this is the last point I want to make about
your heart rate went down. Went back down to a normal rate.
Oh, Jesus. It was awful. The last point I want to make about this weekend, Saturday night, when we went out to dinner, this was the big debate that everybody in D.C. was having about the weather, okay?
Uh-huh.
Saturday morning. I got up Saturday morning.
They blew it again.
And the weather forecast says 1 inch of snow, a dusting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're trying to debate this since we're planning on having our kids spend the night at a friend's house.
Right.
About 5 o'clock on Saturday, beep, 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 on the TV.
Oh, the crawlers. The crawlers were ridiculous.
They put the crawl on that says 2 to 4 inches.
Pipe, 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 pipe.
Mm-hmm. Heavy snow. So as we were getting dressed, getting ready for dinner on Saturday night, we watched the weather guy. On Channel 7, the same channel that was running the thing on the top of the screen that said 2 to 4 inches of heavy snow.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of stuff on a Saturday night you're planning. You know, you're planning on whether you're going to go. It was enough of a panic situation but with the media where you were considering, you know, whether you might want to...
cancel the plan.
Exactly. Your plans a little bit.
Right. So here's what the guy says. The total cover your ass mode. Mm-hmm. The guy says, here's how I see this happening. We will probably get snow. Here in the district, I see us getting between 1 and 3 inches. Could be less or it could be more.
There you go.
North and west, it could be anything from a dusting to up to 5 inches. And if you live on the eastern shore, you could see anywhere from 1 to maybe 7 or 8 inches of snow. So what he's done is he basically has predicted everything.
Every single possible scenario.
0 to 8. Except what happened.
Right.
And what happened was
zip.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I finally figured it out. Here's what I want from these weather guys. I know that we've kidded that they should, you know, put out a pinky and have a finger cut off when they get the forecast
wrong. Take a digit, right?
All I want them to do is just like picking a football game. When you come on TV,
get the record.
Just say, is it going to snow or not? That's all. Just yes or no. I don't care how much.
You know something?
Just tell me if there's snow or not.
You know something? We can do that. We can actually do that for the local guys. We can all do that. If we watch the local guys, you know, somebody can do it. You can tape them. You can just keep a record and just, and you know what it should be? It should be the late news. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And if they're wrong, you just, you 0 for 1. Like, for example, right now, they would all be
0 for 1.
0 for 1 on that, based on
the
weekend.
But if you watch this guy on Channel 7,
right,
technically, he would have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of, in his vague way, this
right.
pissed me off. He predicted that either we would get nothing, since mm-hmm. he did say there was a chance.
Of getting nothing?
He said there's a chance the storm will stay to the south.
I hate that.
But all the computer models now show that we'll be getting 2 to 4.
They're already going into their mode for Wednesday, Thursday. They're going in
right.
to the same mode saying, well, we're not sure.
I just don't get it. Why do these guys even exist? All I want is just like when I was watching Jim Nantz on Saturday, doing the NFL show, when they do the pick segment,
mm-hmm.
they said, who do you think will win, Jacksonville or Tennessee?
Right.
When Jim Nantz says Jacksonville, you know what? A little light goes on and says, Jacksonville, and you hear, ding.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it hit me. That's what I want these weather guys to do.
They certainly take credit if they get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the whole promo if they get it right. But when they get it wrong, they're not called for it.
Just tell me if it's going to snow
mm-hmm.
or if it's not going to snow.
Right.
Just make a fist.
You got Bob Ryan here in Washington, D.C., three weathermen. You got Bob Ryan. You got
Doug Hill.
Doug Hill, and you got, Fisher. What's his name? Mark Fisher?
I think that's
or good. Jeff Fisher? Yeah.
The guy who called us at one time from Channel 7.
Mark Fisher, Ron?
Jeff Fisher.
And you got those three guys. And they just keep a track record.
And Sue Palka.
Sue Palka on Channel 5. I watched Channel 5 Saturday night at 10 o'clock, and they didn't hedge. They said precisely. They said 4 inches of snow. When you get up in the morning, 4 inches of snow. So we said, okay, let's run out and throw the car covers on the car. So we did that. We went out, put the car covers on the car.
Buzz.
Came back
in. Put the car mittens on.
Went
to bring in the cast. Put the car mittens.
Got up the next morning, and he said, well, hell, it passed to our south. We didn't get any snow at all.
I couldn't believe it when I woke up. When I woke up at about noon on Sunday, and I looked out, and there was
nothing.
Did you really have a rough night Saturday
yes,
night?
Yes, I did. Ooh. Yes, I did. I actually went into the guest room, and that's the room where I can shut the door, and we don't have the 6:30 awakening time, and I do that, you know, just by design. And so I got up seriously at about 10 o'clock in the morning, which for me is sleeping in all day long. And I looked out the window, and the only thing that was going to make me feel happy about the day at all was going to be
seeing lots of snow.
Seeing a little snow, you know, on the end. It's Sunday, got the whole day, and there's nothing. And I just kind of went, rolled back over. In fact, my wife and I both did a shift. We did shifts. So I got up. I really got functional at about 11 o'clock, came downstairs at 11:30, and Laura was sitting there, and she just, I am really, really tired. So we switched the kids off, and I spent the rest, I had a great time with my kids there all day on Sunday, and Laura went up to bed, and Laura slept till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We just kind of, it was one of those recharge the batteries that Laura, of course, did it because she was tired.
Right. I was just going to ask if she got hammered like you.
She doesn't know how to get hammered. You know, somebody's going to drive the car, so I mean, that's it. So it was one of those days, but I was so, you know, especially on a Sunday when they forecast a storm for a Saturday night, and you know, most people have the day off on Sunday, and you're saying to yourself, wouldn't it be nice?
Nice and cozy.
Nice and cozy. Put a little fire on.
That's what I thought, too. I don't know how you handle your booze. I had this one martini on Saturday night with dinner.
Right.
One martini. I had to have my wife drive home.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting in the lounge afterwards having a cup of coffee.
Right.
And at one point, I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm really bummed.
Yeah.
I'm bummed from one martini.
You're drinking that. There's nothing in there. You know, it's not like you're having any kind of thing to water it down at all. You're drinking the pure stuff. You know,
yeah.
Like coming right out of the distillery.
And a nice big fancy glass.
Yeah.
Made me feel like a cool guy to have a martini.
Did you enjoy it?
No, it tasted awesome.
Yeah, I hate them. I think the flavor is horrible.
I love the olives though. And when I ordered it, I acted like I knew what I was doing.
Right.
I will take a. Slowly martini, and I would like 4 olives, please.
Thank you.
Excellent. And the guy leaves, and my wife says, where'd you get that from? I said, a movie.
Right.
A movie. A movie. I'm wearing a suit.
Right.
I'm going to have a martini with 4 olives. So the guy, we have dinner. The guy, we have coffee. We go back to this little area. We sit on the couch. We talk. We have coffee. The guy brings the check, and as we're leaving, Frida says, give me the receipt. And I give her the receipt, and she says, do you have any idea how much you just tipped that guy? And I thought, like, oh, my God, I probably forgot to tip him. I said, no, how much did I tip him? And she said, you realize you gave him $75.
Oh, wow.
And I said,
hey, Jesus.
It was good service. She said, why did you give him $75? I said, I don't know. You know, because I had a martini. I had a good time. The bill was... I almost tipped this guy 100%. It was almost 100% tip.
I made the mistake on Saturday night. It's something that I just someday will get out of the habit of doing. But towards the end of the evening, everybody's talking about the game, you know, the football games. And, of course, you know, Johnny Party, as I'm leaving, I said, well, why don't you come over to the house tomorrow?
We invited people over Sunday.
I invited 2 couples over. I said, why don't you come over to the house tomorrow? Come on, it'll be fine.
Yeah, when you're at the peak of drunkenness.
Yeah, and and one of my buddies says to me, you mean the lake acid? No, come over for the 12:30 game. Come over for the 12:30 kickoff. We'll have you over all day. We'll fix something. It'll be great. And we'll bring some clam chowder. I said, oh yeah, that'll be fantastic. And so at 11, once again at 11 o'clock, I had to, because my wife wasn't going to do it this time. She usually covers. You know, and she'll say, oh, it's just crazy. But I had to make the call. I had to actually. So I called our friends. I'm like,
hello. Oh, listen, things aren't working. Oh, the kids are running around now. Feeling really well. Laura's on the couch. Do you think we could postpone to another time? Great. God bless you. Thank you so much.
You know, I could not detect that when we spoke.
I seriously had a miraculous recovery after, because I slept so long. I was fine when I woke up, and then, you know, I got ready for the game. By game time, it was great. My kids were playing in the living room. I had the game on. Everything was organized. It was wonderful, and I was actually feeling strong enough to be. Otherwise, you know, if I was really, really in trouble, I wouldn't have called you.
I had no clue that you'd gotten bombed the night before. You got as strong as bull when you talked to me yesterday.
That's why I missed the Sopranos, though.
Listen, there's nothing better than having a... First off, no offense to you and everybody that has daughters.
Yes.
Nothing better than having a son. Nothing better than having a son who's old enough to watch football.
That's got
to
be great.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my wife yesterday, she left to do whatever she was going to go do, and the two of us are just sitting down in our own stink watching this game. I said, goodbye. Your presence is not needed here. Goodbye. Look at this. You've been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You've been replaced in my life by this little guy right here. I mean, I was really, really gushing on about it. I said, you know, at one point yesterday when we were watching the game together, and he's saying stuff. Of course he's saying this. He's going to be 15 years old. It's not like he's a baby and these are his first words. But he's saying stuff like, Dad, look, that was a corner blitz. How come the guy didn't get rid of the ball? At one point I turned to him and I said, you know, when you were a little boy, I used to say to mommy, I will never force that boy to watch football with me.
Right.
But if he ever does, that would be great. I'd love to have that. And I said, look at this now.
It's got to be cool.
Look at you. You're almost 15, and here we are, doing something my father and I never did together. Mm-hmm. Sitting, watching the game together. And he looked at me and says, Dad, you are so gay. I said, I'm not gay.
Well, you know, so you're talking about boys and girls, but I had my two-year-old.
Just
Elizabeth.
Love that bonding.
She's sitting up there, and I'm looking at her, and, you know, you think that boys are the only ones who know about football, but I looked at her, and was right as Tennessee was going down for another one of their great plays, and I looked at Elizabeth, and I said, what sport are we watching? And she turns around, big grin on her face, and she says, golf.
So they're into it.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Oh, but there's nothing better than that.
No, nothing better. After we're watching it, and then we're goofing on Pat Summerall together. You know, Rudy had it in his column today that Pat Summerall gets his comeback award of the week.
Right. He certainly paid attention to Rudy's column. He was slower and more methodical. He didn't make as many mistakes.
But I thought he still made plenty of mistakes. For instance, you know, in the first quarter when the Rams were driving, when there was a pass that Isaac Bruce caught in the right corner of the end zone, and the referee ruled him out of bounds, catch is no good. First, Summerall said, touchdown, St. Louis Rams. Then you see the guy on the screen, the referee going like this, putting his arms like, that's no good. Then Summerall says, I see, he was out just before the goal line. That'll be first and goal. And then Madden has to come in, and politely, while they're looking at the replay, Madden says, and as you can see, Pat, he never really made the catch. He was bobbling
right,
the catch.
Right.
And at that point, Summerall did what I thought was like a spin move. He tried some spin control because he said, John, looks to me like he caught that. Can we see that again?
Right.
Trying to cover the fact that he'd already called this play as a touchdown. Then said that they had it first and goal at the one-yard line when really it was an incomplete pass.
Rudy gave him a comeback of the year.
Yes, he did.
Rudy did what he does quite often, slammed you one week. Did that to Boomer Esiason earlier in the season. You know, slammed him one week and then, you know, glorifies him the next. I think that's how Rudy survived.
Did you see the Fox pregame show, though?
Yeah.
Did you see when they had that guy Jimmy Kimmel dressed up like Terry Bradshaw?
No, I didn't see that part.
Now, that I thought was funny.
Was he totally looking like Terry Bradshaw?
They had, you know how sometimes you put a skin wig on some guy and you can tell it's a skin wig? They really had a good makeup artist make him bald with Terry Bradshaw-like hair. They gave him an awful-looking suit and a tie that had pigs on it. And I don't know, they were just yelling at each other back and forth. You know, it's like that staged rap
ring
thing.
Right, exactly.
The only thing that really made me laugh is finally James Brown says to him, okay, Terry, he's talking to Jimmy Kimmel, you know, pretend to be Terry Bradshaw, who do you pick? He says, well, I'm going to pick the Rams because the Rams remind me of sheep. I love sheep.
That guy's great.
That really made me laugh.
He's the guy that does that man show, too.
Yeah,
Jimmy Kimmel.
And
Ben
Stein's money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But generally, I wish when there are big games, I wish they would leave those guys in a studio.
Yeah, because it's too distracting and they get too excited and
can't hear each other. And
I mean, that's a manic show enough without having those guys out in the stadium.
And the CBS show is even worse when they take them out somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Glanville, I mean, he said, what? What'd you say? How's that?
And Nance, our buddy Nancy yesterday was wound up like a top.
He was indeed.
Jesus H. Christ.
His eyes all wide. Hello there, I'm Jim Nance. Oh, the AFC Championship game. I'm here with Eddie George.
Eddie, how are you?
Oh, man.
The whitest man in America, Mr. Jim Nance.
And, of course, the trophy presentation to the Tennessee Titans was just like, you know, Feeb 1, Feeb 2. Here's your trophy.
What about that owner of the
what, Adams? You know, it's like,
the owner of the Tennessee Titans.
I mean, do you think he is the hair long for a reason, or was he did he just forget to trim it? You know, and it's like, thank you very much.
That long hair.
Oh man, it was weird.
And that owner of the Rams, please,
Georgia,
somebody get out a 10-pound bag of flour.
Oh,
wow. I mean, Jesus H. Christ. She looks to me like a young Aline Cunningham.
Oh, I love it when she wears the team colors.
Georgia Frontieri.
Come on, she's just, you know, pawing over Dick Vermeil. Oh, Dick.
Poor Dick Vermeil. The guy has to coach a football team to get done this big, fat bitch who's the owner, who has to come over and, like, put her arms around him. And just, you know, on the post-game show, they're giving her the shirt, and she goes, where's my quarterback? Where's my quarterback?
You know, he starts pinching his cheeks and stuff.
Did you see the pregame when they were talking to Dick Vermeil? And he talks about how emotional he gets.
Oh.
He really does. Apparently, you know, I always knew he was an emotional guy.
He cries all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know until that interview that he does cry all the time. And he's relaying a story about, I think, getting a letter from his grandchild or something. And he said, and I can't even talking about it. You know, it's weird to think of a football guy getting that emotional all the time.
Oh, my God. Hello, Mike.
Don,
Mike Show. Your name is Mike.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to say I had a similar incident with leaving my car in drive. I do it all the time when I get out of my car. I got one foot in and out, and so they try to put it in parking. One time I delivered pizzas at night.
That's a bad thing to do if you're a pizza delivery guy.
Pizza guy.
I mean, it's not my full-time job, but I got like 8 jobs. I went up, took the pizza to the door, and then, give him the money and the tip and everything. And the boy turned around, he's like, is that your car? And I looked, he's going across the front yard. I'm jumping over the bush, trying to get in my car. And I can't believe it didn't even hit his car, because luckily his driveway was like on an incline, so it didn't move as soon as I got out.
Oh, that's good.
I about grabbed my pants on Saturday when I saw my car rolling away. Not rolling away, actually driving away. Still in drive. I said, you want me to get that? I said, no, I got it.
It's eager to see. That guy's eager to get his pizzas delivered. You're eager to get out of the car.
It fell right on my ass. Right on a big splash of ice. Right on my ass. Hello, Kate.
Yes.
Hello, Kate.
How you doing?
Kate.
You remember me?
Mike, this is Kate, the girl who was in our hairy ass contest.
AKA Liz.
What's that?
AKA Liz.
Remember, she used the fake name Liz when she was on the show.
You the one we said looked like Shania?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hi, Kate.
How y'all doing?
Well, now everybody knows it's Kate instead of Liz.
Yeah, but that's okay because y'all already pretty much said that I really don't have a hairy ass. So.
Yeah, well, you didn't know.
Really,
that other girl's
a little bit of peach fuzz.
The other girl's ass was much hairier than
me. She definitely had me, yeah.
Yeah, you were very popular with the boys.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I really like you guys, so.
That was mutual.
We like you. Yes.
It's my birthday.
Really?
And, I think.
We'll spank you, absolutely.
You're lying, because I'm going to do it.
I mean, I won't spank you with my hand, because my wife will kill me, but
we're not allowed to touch. Absolutely.
I will use, like, a belt or something on you.
Are you serious? Because seriously, in an hour and a half, I'm going to be at the WJFK studio.
Well, come on down.
Absolutely, and I'll use, like, a
magazine.
A magazine?
Yes. Come on down.
Seriously?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Please do.
Bye.
Yeah. We're easy. Bye bye. We're easy. We can't touch though.
Hello, Pat. Pat in Georgia.
Yes. How you doing?
I got this brand new belt I just bought yesterday.
Shiny belt.
Spank her with it. She'll roll up a newspaper like she's a bad dog. Hello, Pat.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Pat.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Hi.
Y'all see the post game show when they was talking to the Jaguars coach and. In the background, there was an old guy about 65, had a shirt and a tie and no pants, and he walked right by the camera.
I did not see that.
Man, you missed a good one. My wife busted a gut. She said, that's what you're going to look like when you're old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just forgot his pants, I guess, for the big game.
Yeah. Hi, this is Surf.
It was tough, man. It was tough.
Did you see his genitals or just his butt?
Nah, he had a long shirt on. Luckily, his shirt was covering up that area.
Well, I'd certainly like to investigate that and figure out why a man was walking around with no pants.
No, where are my pants?
My pants.
My pants. Thank you, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. The peak's putting out a good signal out here in Athens, Georgia, so.
All right, are you getting any ice or anything like that during that ice storm?
It wasn't real bad.
Okay, good.
It right. Worse.
Thank you, my friend. Last call. Here is Eric. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, Donald Mike, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I was just calling to see if you guys happened to see when Kurt Warner gave it up for Jesus on the postgame show.
Yeah, you know what? It's very rare that you see most of the guys who talk about Jesus a lot are not necessarily your quarterbacks.
Right.
It's mainly like running backs or wide receivers that you see. The first thing they say when they're interviewed is, you know, I owe it all to Jesus.
Thank my Lord and Maker, right?
This guy, Kurt Warner, first thing he says, they say, hey, Kurt, you won the game. He says, I want to thank Jesus. I want to give it up for Jesus.
There you go.
Jesus.
He's excited.
Wacky. Him and his wife and his mom in the stands. That means you're going to have to endure another week of watching them every time he does something good.
They love that. They love the human interest story.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's going to be, I really think it's going to be an evenly matched Super Bowl.
healthy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Listen, when we come back, I want to take you to this website.
I'm looking forward to taking this test because I want to find out the celebrity that I'd be hooked up with.
They have all kinds of tests, not only the celebrity matchmaker for men, and also what breed of dog are you.
Okay.
But also they have, are you high maintenance?
Mm-hmm.
Are you loony?
Right.
And what is your emotional age?
My emotional age.
We will go to the website momentarily. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Of course. Every goddamn guy that I coach against has played or coached or whatever. I mean, hell, I've had Jimmy Cruz. And goddamn, Jimmy played for me, was a great player, and coached for me for about 8 years. Christ, I should have gone to heaven the day. And goddamn, I should have been just emotionally drained, for Christ's sake.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
Is this your sweetie? Hello?
Hello, Pabu.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
Hey. Listen, I want to bring my wife in on this discussion about this website, because she actually found this website and brought it to my attention, all right?
Did you tell him who my celebrity matchup was?
Yeah, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. And who was it when Bart did it yesterday? Who was his?
Didn't he have Selma Hayek?
Selma Hayek.
Ooh, lucky Bart.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, you both had the Latin beauty, Selma Hayek, and who was yours, my darling?
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
You know what I wish, though? I wish that, here's what I wanted to mention to you. When you got that camera, that computer camera, I wish you wouldn't mail pictures of you and me to Charlie Broyhill.
Oh, poo, I was just playing. It didn't hurt anything.
But, honey.
What?
It's just not right.
Why not?
Why did you mail pictures?
I didn't mail.
You mean the email? You emailed the picture?
Like when Frieda and I stood in front of this video camera that I told you.
It has a freeze frame and then you email it?
Yeah.
It's one of these things where I got one, my mom got one, and we're going to get her set up so we can see those photos.
He doesn't need to see a picture of you and me, though. Why would you send that to Charles Broyhill?
Because I thought Charlie would be interested and I like him.
I'd be interested too.
I'll send one to you too, Mike.
I really would. I'd love to be. I'd be real interested because, to be quite honest with you, my mom, who's going to be 80 in April, has expressed finally an interest in, in getting computer literate. And, that'd be a fun thing to do with a long distance.
It is fun. Yeah, it would be fun. And I would have sent one to you right then, except I don't think I have your email on my address.
I've got it. It's a long, wacky one. It's not like .com. It's like through a million different servers. It's Mike's email. It is a long one.
It is.
I mean, it's pages long.
The more, computer literate you seem.
Right.
If you have the plain old AOL, you're like
I did it actually early on to hide. That's why.
You know, this whole thing with Broyhill, though, makes me suspicious. For instance,
I mean, the relationship, the wonderful relationship that your wife has with him.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
The relationship that's getting better as your relationship begins to deteriorate with him.
Last week, he had, I think all you guys will back me up on this, he had one of his worst weeks ever as far as people skills go.
He did not seem to be in the most chipper of moods.
Charles Broyhill was just a grade A asshole last week, but it's okay.
He seems more chipper already today. That was my observation.
I go with his mood as he goes with mine.
Right.
But I got home from work one night last week, and Frieda said, like we do most days, we sit down, we talk, how was work? I said, it was fine. I said, Broyhill, though, just a pain in the ass today. She says, in what regard? So I said, just hard to communicate. We were trying to watch a videotape on the air, and he just at one point just walked out of the room and left us hanging. I said, I don't know what his problem is this week. She says, oh, I think he's in a fine mood. And I said, well, how would you know? And she said, I talked to him two or three times today.
There you go.
Don't you think that's weird?
Well, you kind of are blowing it up. But,
No. I'm not.
Some business to talk about, and it's usually over email. And it's hard for even somebody who's not really communicative like Charlie is perfect for email style couple of sentences. You know, that's the mode he was made for.
No, but he was conversing with you on the telephone, though.
And I have asked him to please let me see a little of the charm that the women fall for, but he thinks that would be awkward. So, it's all very...
No, he's charmed you over. Listen, I'm telling you, she said they had in-depth discussions.
We did not, and I said to him, Charlie, why are these... I'm in your camp. I don't know why the women fall for him, because I get the same personality you get. But he says, you know, he doesn't want to turn it on around me because, you know, then what would happen if I fell for them?
He doesn't want to turn on his super sexy charm.
Right. It would be awkward if I fell head over heels, too.
Right. Too sexy for the modem.
If you have a chance, that would happen. I just thought it was odd that I came home one day when I was complaining about him. She said that, well, what a sweetheart he was. That she had had a couple of conversations with him. And she gave him some advice.
He's never a sweetheart with me. He's very much like he is with you.
Let me be honest here. Hold on a second. I want to be honest and just say Charles Broyhill is sexually interested in both of our wives. I think that is the truth, and it should be known to the whole world that we just have to keep an eye on
him. I'm a mother to Charlie Broyhill. I've known him since
And you know what babies do. You know, mom.
Need food.
Right.
And you're the one who goes gaga when he calls. A face of the charm that you give Charlie Broyhill.
Honey, I can't help it. I am a people person. He is not a people person. Goodbye. I love you. Your phone's breaking up. Are you there?
No, I can't hear you, my boo-boo. I told you I'd go through a bad cell.
All right. I'll see you tonight. Love you.
I love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. He involved my wife in this whole queer discussion about, like, some salon for his girlfriend or something.
No, I got the standard treatment when I walked to the office right before the show, and he had his, his catered meal, whatever the hell he was eating for the day, his tray of many different foodstuffs that he was about to devour, and he was having a very, very animated, happy conversation with somebody on the phone, where he was actually laughing when I watched, which you never see him laugh. And so he's laughing, and I walk in, and as soon as he, okay, bye, and he went like, okay, bye-bye. And he just turns around and looks at me.
Turns sour.
It goes right into the soup because I was asking if he had a dollar. So maybe that was the reason too. And he said no. And then he didn't bother to even look up. He went down for his first large bite of food and then pointed at the desk drawer that had the change in it, Rob, which I took 85 cents from you today.
That's cool.
All right. So it was just
you take his shirt, you take his money.
But you see already, I did. I've really raped Rob today. He's very chipper today. He's been much better for you. You can tell by looking at him.
Here he is now. Hello. Hi.
Partner.
Hi, Rob. Why were you in such a bad mood last week?
I didn't know that I was, but I didn't feel like I was in a bad mood, but please accept my apologies sometime later.
You were a handful. To you. I mean, what you dine on is truly, I mean, every day is some new exotic meal.
Grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes and vegetables.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not lunch. It's not like a sandwich. It's a dinner. It's this full-fledged dinner that you
eat. I don't eat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed how nice he's dressing also recently?
Yeah, he's looking real sharp. Very conservative. Mm-hmm. He came in today with like a businessman's overcoat. I almost dropped dead. I mean, he wasn't wearing the Pittsburgh Steelers colors today.
Where did you get that overcoat from?
I don't remember.
You buy that or did you?
I bought that.
You bought that yourself?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. What about that leather Sopranos jacket we saw you wearing?
I bought that.
That's the Eastern European agent jacket that he wears. He really looks like, seriously, he could be out of one of those James Bond movies when he's wearing that, but not the good character. He's the Eastern European thug chasing
That's
the hero.
That's fine. I don't mind.
All right. Well, just knock it off with my wife.
Okay.
Whatever you're doing.
I will.
Thank you.
Sure.
Always a pleasure. You take.
There
Bye.
You go.
Bye.
Charles Broyhill, producer.
I'm going to call you back in and take one of these tests.
Oh, good.
Find out what kind of dog you are.
Find out the celebrity match that you would best be with.
How come you're so uncomfortable around men, Charlie?
I hope mine's the Winona Ryder.
Have you noticed that about Charlie? Well, I know you have because we discussed it last week.
Off the air.
Mm-hmm. How very uncomfortable he is with men.
Yeah. He communicates much more easily with women.
Right.
He actually, in social circumstances, you will see him having very animated discussions with women. And then as a male friend of his will approach, he'll, shove some shrimp into his mouth. And just go,
we like shrimp.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? He's a very complicated guy.
He is. Okay. So my wife actually found this website that I went on.
Okay.
That has a celebrity matchmaker for men and women,
mm-hmm.
and what breed of dog are you?
Interesting.
My celebrity was Jennifer Lopez. You'll take the test in a moment, and we'll hook you up here.
Okay.
It says, "Ay caramba, you are matched with Jennifer Lopez. If you're looking for a little spice in your life, this sizzling Latin sex symbol is just what the doctor ordered. Considering her incredible success, it might be difficult to keep a low profile on your first date."
So you and Jennifer should keep out of sight and spend quality time together at home, where you'll discover the answer to the question we've all wondered about, if you had my love.
Ah, okay. Okay, all right, very good.
Well, that's kind of generic, and I don't know what the ratio of celebrities is when you take this test.
I just saw the dog. I saw the, I'm sorry, I saw the picture.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I took the dog test, and it said, you are most like a basset hound. You are one laid-back individual. You cherish your downtime and treasure the moments that you have no responsibility to anyone but your couch and television.
Right.
You are easy to get along with and extremely low-maintenance. You probably love to hang out with your friends as long as it is in a low-key environment. Although some might consider you lazy, you prefer to think of yourself as relaxed.
Right.
Your no-frills approach to life makes you a refreshing friend to all.
There you go. You're a bastard now.
I answered that all these questions honestly.
That's good. Hey, but the low-maintenance part's good.
All right, now.
That's a positive.
I won't give out this website until we take some of these tests.
Okay.
So, Mike?
Yes.
Here's the question for Celebrity Matchmaker for Men.
All right. Is it multiple choice?
Yes. Question one.
All right.
Which food do you like the best? Sausage and pepper, chicken burrito, Greek salad, sweet potato pie, burger and fries, beef stew, caviar, wild mushroom souffle, chocolate-covered banana, grilled cheese, or power bar?
Burger and fries.
Burger and fries. Got it. Put that in. Next question. Which quote resonates most with you? Beauty comes from the inside. I've done the prom thing, but it's only once a year. I always got more attention than anyone else. If I hadn't, I would have made sure I did. I believe in fate completely. Everything happens for a reason. I'm the boss, applesauce. Husbands are like fires. They go out when unattended. It's really our passage into adulthood when we leave that place of idealism and naivete.
The fate quote would be my quote.
All right.
Everything happens for a reason.
Okay, here we go. What type of undergarments do you prefer on your woman? Don't believe in them?
Mm-hmm.
Thong? Silk or lace panties? Cotton panties? Or grandma-style pattern?
I have to go with the cotton panties.
Okay.
I like the cotton panties, especially the ones that are like, you know, the jockey ones. Mm-hmm.
Would your friends consider you a risk taker?
Is that just a yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And you deal with a woman who didn't go to college?
Absolutely.
Which letter appeals most to you? A, B, C, D, or double D? Gee, not too veiled this question, eh?
What letter appeals to me?
Which letter most appeals to you? A, B, C, D, or double D?
A. Is that a purely bra question?
That's how I understood it, but
okay,
it doesn't say bra, though. It just says which letter appeals more to you.
Okay, then that's tough. I don't know how to interpret that, but I'm going to say that...
Are you going to change it?
Yeah, because I guess it is the B. Since they put double D in there, I will say C.
Oh, C. All right, here we go. Next question. If you ask her what's for dinner, your ideal woman would reply, I've prepared an elaborate feast. I've already had my happy meal. Get your own damn food. Order a pizza. I booked reservations. I've made grandma's secret recipe. Or salad with no dressing.
I've made grandma's secret recipe.
Okay. Which magazine would you most likely read? Playboy, Sports Illustrated, Details, Rolling Stone, Newsweek, National Enquirer.
Man, that's tough. I don't read any of them, so I mean, I'm not
Which
sure.
would you most likely read?
Give me one more time.
Playboy,
uh-huh.
SI,
yeah.
Details, Rolling Stone, Newsweek, Inquirer.
SI.
Which movie genre do you prefer? Action-adventure, romantic comedy, Disney, drama, pornography.
When I'm going out to the movies, drama.
Drama. Drama.
Drama.
Which type of music do you enjoy most? Country, hard rock, Latin, top 40, rap, classical, rhythm and blues.
They didn't put the category on there. I'm sorry, I was waiting for jazz.
Country, hard rock, Latin, top 40, rap, classical, rhythm and blues.
Hard rock.
In high school, your ideal girl was teacher's pet, athlete, cheerleader, prom queen, star of school play, suspended, debate team, or head of homecoming committee.
Prom queen.
Your ideal first date would be dancing at a club till 2 a.m., candlelight dinner, baseball game, theater, dinner and a movie.
First one, what was the first one?
Dancing at a club till 2 a.m.
No, I don't want to dance till 2 a.m.
Candlelight dinner, baseball game, theater, dinner and a
candlelight
movie.
Candlelight dinner.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm basing it on my wife. That was our first date.
What would you find?
It wasn't candlelight, but it was a long dinner.
What would you find in your woman's top dresser drawer? Bandana, scented oil.
Handgun.
Socks, sports bra, family heirloom, diary, nude pictures of you, rosary beads, leather bustier, or potpourri.
Diary,
gotcha. Which ice cream flavor do you choose? Mango sorbet, butter rum, peppermint stick, pralines and cream, bubble gum, vanilla bean, cookie dough, pistachio, cookies and cream, mocha chip, caramel swirl, or Heath Bar Crunch.
All right. Excellent. They put my favorite flavor of ice cream in.
Two more questions. Which feline turns you on? Panther, puma, jaguar, tiger, lion, leopard, Persian cat, Siamese cat.
Puma.
Or Cheshire cat.
Puma.
And what material turns you on? Spandex, suede, linen, polyester, cotton, or leather?
Leather.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Get results.
Is it quick?
Well, on a regular computer. Oh, sorry. You missed a question.
Hold on. Let me see which question we didn't answer.
Oh, I forgot to click on leather.
Leather.
All right.
Get results. Two of my favorite things, leather and Heath Bar Crunch.
What about a second? Missed question. God damn it. Go back to the test. All right, let me make sure. I'm going to make sure I clicked on everything.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't click on Puma. All right, let me just double check this.
Sorry about that.
Puma, Panther.
If you need any help, just let me know.
Heath Bar Crunch.
But you already do it? No, I don't have the website. The web address.
Okay.
The way you said that was the way when you have something already completed.
No, it's just that I'm so fast on computers. You know, I can jump in and help at any time.
Father time.
You know what? You're going to have to give me a second because it didn't take any of these.
I'm ready. Very excited.
I don't think you will be disappointed.
Or maybe I
will. No, you will not.
Okay. All right. Very good.
The website has tabulated. I'm going to give out this website address after we take these tests. I just didn't want it to be all crowded while
right.
We were online.
Exactly.
One of the rare occasions we actually are online on this show in the main studio.
Very exciting.
Celebrity matchmaker for men. Shania Twain is the one for you.
Oh, man.
And we are sure she will impress you much.
Wow.
This beauty is quite a prize. Not only does she sing like an angel and speak with a twang, but she's a complete knockout based on your answers. You desire a woman with class, ambition, and beauty who fully dedicates herself to all of her endeavors.
Yeah, baby.
She has achieved a great balance between a southern charm and independent air, and she's confident and competent. This country chick is quite a catch, and if you're lucky, you'll be the one she dreams of.
Oh, Shania, come to Papa.
Shania, all right, let me go to popular tests.
Okay. Now, is this the dog one?
Yeah, and then we'll both take the emotional test, because I haven't taken that one.
Uh-oh.
Let me see.
I think that varies based on the time of year. I just want everybody to know I'm a mess.
What breed of dog are you?
Okay,
I got 12 questions for you.
Now, this is quicker, right?
Yeah.
All right.
After a tough day at work, I grab a beer and watch TV, play a pickup game of b-ball, volunteer at the soup kitchen, meet friends for drinks, treat myself to a pedicure, rent a tear jerker, pound on a punching bag, go rock climbing, or complain.
Complain.
In high school, I was class clown, teacher's pet, star athlete, bully, class treasurer, head of prom committee, yearbook staff, school mascot, debate team.
Class clown.
Gotcha. Of the following.
And I mean elected.
Point that out. Okay, man. Get the yearbook to prove it.
Of the following, my favorite sport to play is...
Wait a minute.
Of the following.
Okay.
Quarters, lacrosse, bowling, wrestling, cheerleading, croquet, gymnastics, baseball, track and field.
Baseball.
At a cocktail party, I would most likely be commenting on other people's attire. On the couch with a plate of food. Mixing drinks for people. In the middle of a heated discussion. Dressed to the nines. Talking someone's ear off. Surrounded by friends.
Talking someone's ear off.
Some people consider me high maintenance.
Yes or no?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. At the dinner table, I use chopsticks. I always use my best silver. Dinner table, I eat in front of the TV. Meat and potatoes. I pick at my food. I lick my plate clean. I tell lots of stories.
Chopsticks.
No.
What is it again?
I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot. Chopsticks?
Yeah, no.
Best silver?
No.
Eat in front of the TV?
No.
Meat and potatoes?
Well, yeah, technically a TV's in the kitchen. I eat at a table, but I eat in front of the TV.
Meat and potatoes, pick at my food, lick my plate, clean, tell stories.
Sit in front of the TV.
My social circle is made up of a core group of close friends and many associates. A core group of close friends and not many associates. Just a few close friends. No close friends and many acquaintances. Or just me?
The first one.
Okay. Of the following, I would want to be a detective, a mountaineer, a movie actor, a mob boss, supermodel, socialite, bus driver, sports announcer, grade school teacher, events planner.
Movie actor.
Movie actor. Of the following, my favorite food is hot dog with sauerkraut, cheese puffs, rare steak, grilled chicken salad, cottage cheese and fruit, cheeseburger and fries, sushi, tacos,
steak.
Steak. In high school, I graduated in the top 10%, top 25%, upper half, lower half.
I would say top 25% of high school.
My outlook on life...
I'm lying! It's not true! I cannot lie!
Top half.
Okay.
I hope.
Yeah. Okay.
I really, really hope. My outlook on life is most colored by Cosmo, Vogue, GQ, and Men's Health. Friends, Seinfeld, Ally McBeal. Conspiracy theories. The Protestant work ethic. ESPN. Or gossip.
The Seinfeld one, I guess.
Okay. And finally, I like to cuddle. All of the time, sometimes, rarely, never.
Sometimes.
Okay. Let me get your results.
Well, the cuddle one, probably real significant, I would think. Right?
Here you go.
Buzz's microphone's not on.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Yes, very significant. Buzz?
Yes.
Your microphone is now on.
Thank you.
Mike?
What dog am I, Don?
And I know you'd be happy with this one just because it starts with Irish.
I'm an Irish setter.
You are an Irish setter, Mike.
Wow. Right.
You're a fun-loving breed with a devil-may-care attitude towards life. Your refreshing outlook endears you to your close friends and acquaintances. They love having you around because of your lighthearted nature, witty jokes, and those for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You are interested and excited about many different things. Varied interests make you a well-rounded individual, but they create a tendency towards distraction.
What?
You are one of the lucky dogs who will always be a kid at heart.
All right. Okay, I think that's good. All valid.
It's a good dog.
I love these tests. I just want to say, based on these two things, based on the Shania Twain, I love the test.
All right, now, Buzz, here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Mike and I will both take the emotional age test right now.
All right.
So we can do it at the same time. I want you to log on to emode, emode.com.
Emode.com. Emode.com.
Come on, Father Time.
Oh, I can't find the buttons. Where's my computer screen?
Emode.com.
Oh.
Take your time, Buzz. I've got your music ready.
It's already been entered. And it's coming up on the screen now. I've got it.
All right, now, you see where it says popular test?
Yep.
Click on popular test.
Wait, I spoke too soon? No, I don't see that. I see...
Oh, I see what is your emotional age. Should I click on that?
Click on that.
Okay. All right, you got it. There's 14 questions.
Coming up on the screen.
Just one moment, please.
There it is.
Okay. Buzz?
Yes.
Let's involve you in this.
Okay.
You read the questions.
All right.
To Mike and I. I'll click in my answer, and you click in Mike's answer.
All right. Very good.
So we can both actually get the results at the same time to
this
find out
the emotional age?
What our emotional ages.
I'm scoring for Mike. And the first question is, how do you shop for yourself? I buy something only when I desperately need it. I buy things, but only within my budget. I keep up with the latest trends and gadgets. I buy whatever I want, when I want it.
I buy something only when I desperately need it. That is really my answer.
I keep up with the trends and things.
Okay.
Next question. How would you describe your sex life? Intimate and sharing? Full of energy and playful? Intense and passionate? What sex life?
Full of energy and playful.
Same. Okay. Third question. You run into someone you haven't heard from in a long time, although you have tried many times to contact her. How do you react? I'm nice and ask how long it's been since we last saw each other. I'm very excited and give her a big hug. I ask her why she's not responded to my attempts to make contact. I ignore her completely.
I ask her why she hasn't responded.
Me too. Okay. Fourth question. You've done a great job at work and you're given a big promotion and bonus. What do you enjoy most about it? The additional money I now have? The emotional high I feel from being recognized by my boss and coworkers? The fact that I now have a secretary and don't have to do the menial work for myself? The status that comes with the new position?
You want to go first?
No.
The money.
Got it.
The emotional high.
Fifth question. When you have sex with your significant other, you like it to be a little secretive. Forbidden things are always more fun. To have it as often and in as many places as possible. To have it in an atmosphere of soft music, candlelight, and romance. I don't remember.
Secretive.
Okay.
As often as possible.
Mm-hmm. Sixth question. If you suddenly got a huge bonus at work, what would you do with the money? Make a few expensive purchases, like a new stereo or TV, and put the rest in savings? Buy something extravagant, like a new car? Do something practical I've always wanted to do, pay off student loans or my mortgage? Or spend it all on trendy new things and taking my friends out?
I would make a few expensive purchases and put the rest in savings.
I would do the same. Okay. Seventh question. If someone offers you some candy, what do you do? Try a little of each kind to see what you like best? Take one to eat later? Eat a huge handful, making yourself a bit ill? Or, I don't eat candy, it's bad for my teeth?
I'll take one to eat later.
I'd eat a huge handful. Okay. Eighth question. Someone close to you dies. What's your reaction? A lot of crying and sadness? I joke around and shut down my emotions to avoid dealing with the pain? Allow myself to be sad, but also lend support to the people around me?
Hi, this is Surf.
Oh, did he just die?
No.
I'm not close to him anyway.
He's fine.
Or take over the funeral and family arrangements as much as possible.
I would take over the, and I've done this before, mm-hmm. Take over the funeral and family arrangements.
I would do the one where you offer help. But not, okay, but not got it. Over. All right, very good. Question 9. Your best friend wants to set you up on a blind date. What do you ask about this person? What does he or she do for a living? Why is this person single? What does he or she look like? And what are the two of you going to do?
What does she look like?
Ditto. Okay. Question 10. When you pay your bills, when do you pay your bills is the question. Usually when the overdue notices come in the mail, when they first arrive in the mail, the same day every month, or I don't, my parents or partner does that for me.
I don't.
Same time every month. Okay. Question 11. When you're out of the party or club, how do you act? I would never go to a club. I party till dawn. Hang out in the corner with my friends and people watch. Or have a good time, but in moderation.
I would never go to a club.
Hang out and people watch. Question 12. Some relatives drop in unannounced and want to stay for a week. How do you deal with the situation? Make them feel as comfortable as possible and arrange some activities you can do together and suggest they do some on their own. Welcome them and make them comfortable, but encourage them to take care of themselves as much as possible so they don't disrupt your schedule. Enjoy every minute with them. You only see them once a year. Or, my place is such a mess, they wouldn't want to stay with me.
Well, I'll do that second one. Take care of themselves so they don't disrupt my schedule.
Okay, Mike.
like any of the options, but I'll say the same thing.
Okay. And question 13, you're at a pool party, and someone suggests skinny dipping. How do you react? There is no way I'm taking my clothes off in front of my friends. I'll go in if other people do, but I won't go alone. Get a boner. I have the first one out of my clothes, or what's skinny dipping?
There is no way I am taking my clothes off in front of my friends.
What, I'm sorry, I was very distracted.
No way, I'll go if other people do, I'm the first one undressed, or what's skinny dipping?
I'll go if everyone else does.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
And number 14, I believe this is the final question. A close friend tells you an important secret. How do you deal with this? I don't tell anyone unless it's going to hurt them not to know. I let it slip to a few people who won't tell anyone else. I get excited that I know something interesting and tell everyone I know. Or I keep the secret to my grave.
I'm torn between, I let it slip to a few people or I tell everybody.
I let it slip to a few people.
Okay. And that was the final question.
I believe, I let it slip to a few people.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between a few and everyone.
Those people are in this room.
Okay, let's get our results. Click on the Get Results box.
I've done that. Use email to discover more. Yada, yada. Some kind of ad.
Right. What the hell is that'll be on the left-hand side. Just click off the box.
Okay.
That's an ad.
Thank you.
Hold on. I missed a question on mine. Jesus Christ.
Computer just blows.
Okay, Mike, your total score under your emotional age is 50 out of 100. And I believe, let's see if I can find an analysis here. It's just right down the middle. It says there are many. Now, that's just generic explanation.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going nuts. My emotional age is kicking.
I'm going to get mine now. Here we go. My emotional age is. Your total score is 52 out of 100.
Wow, very cool.
More results below. Hold on, here we go. Hold on, with a.
Right.
Healthy mix of maturity.
Oh, it's broken down into categories.
How the hell do you
think? Is it confusing?
Oh, Buzz, click down.
The first
down.
Yeah.
Click all the way down.
Okay, all the way down.
Keep going, because there's a there's some kind of like a
subcategory.
Right.
Right.
If you got a 44 out of 100, if you got 57 out of 100.
So they say what you're, they give you the explanation if you.
Yeah. Okay, here you go. If you have a 44, that means you're less mature. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 57, that means you're responsible.
So you're right in between.
Right. Hold on. Who's on the phone here? Hello? Hello?
Hey, Dad. It's Bart.
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, don't you really want to go?
Hello?
Hello?
What?
Hello?
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 Grandma voice. Hello? Yeah, buddy. What?
I got 65 out of 100.
Oh, you did when you took that test? I'm not surprised. Well, congratulations.
You're more mature than both of us.
You are more mature than either me or Uncle Mike.
That's right. I am the least mature of the three.
Hey, what kind of dog were you, Barty?
I was a golden retriever.
Golden retriever.
That's good.
I'm the worst on that.
I'm a basset hound.
And I'm an Irish setter.
That's weird. That's really weird that I was an Irish setter. That's unique.
All right, bud. Love you. I'll see you later.
Okay, you want to talk about that thing tonight?
Yes. We talk when I get home.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay. A little private stuff we got going on.
There you go. Okay. Then I think all the rest of this
is a breakdown. The crappy part here. So it doesn't tell you, doesn't like give you an explanation.
You got a breakdown, Buzz. Buzz is actually reading all the crap that it says.
I just have Mike's individual scores. Your overall score, of course, Mike, was 50. They gave you a 52 as your emotional age for behavior, a 39 for your emotional age for emotions, and a 57 as your emotional age for responsibility. And then, of course, each one of those subcategories has a generic explanation that goes with it.
Okay, so 57 would be responsible. Then.
Right, you're on your responsibility
and,
age.
And the 39, which was under what?
Your emotional age.
And I'm a child.
Not really. Not
then, I was just two more than you. So I'm just that much better than
well,
you.
What is your in the breakdowns? What are your, because it gives you all the numbers. What is your emotional age?
Let me go back.
Mine was 39. I bet I'm lower than you on that one.
All right, wait a minute.
Because that's a pretty low grade.
Emo, the best coffee break. Oh, right.
Yeah, a lot of ads.
Let me get out of this. Okay,
I hate it when they do that.
All right, hold on. All right. Hate it, hate it, hate it. My total score is 52 out of 100. Behavior, 55 out of 100.
Mike had 52.
Emotion, 44 out of 100.
Mike had 39.
Responsibility, 57 out of 100.
Bingo, same as Mike.
That was it.
So I'm basically much more immature.
That's not true!
Shut up!
Shut up! That is emode.com.
Right.
If anybody wants to take
hey,
the time
I
to do
dig
that
it based
crap.
On Shania.
Yeah,
yeah. Shania, come on over here and see the emotional 2-year-old.
Hey, Jennifer, it's me, the Basset Hound. Come on over and pay my bills, baby.
Shania, pet your Irish setter.
Your little emotionally underage Irish setter. Hey, Jennifer, it's me, your Basset Hound. I'm just over here licking my nuts. Come on over, baby. Listen, don't passing touch stones. Right there, let's try to give away up to $10,000.
All right.
Got it for you, lies straight ahead with the secret celebrity laugh number 3.
Excellent.
You want a shot at up to $10,000? Now is the time to call the show at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the judge. She is rather abbondanza in that arena.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, she is.
I think we've had that discussion before. I thought that she was kind of flat chested.
Yeah, she's not, though. I mean, if she was wearing, like, the Super Bowl, baby, but she had very discernible cleavage last night.
I think if given the opportunity, if it was an edition of Who Would You Do,
mm-hmm.
I would do Carm Soprano before I would do another suburban New Jersey type woman. I would definitely do Carm Soprano before I would do one of those mommies that does the news on Channel 4 in New York in the morning.
Absolutely, yeah.
They have these people. If you have the satellite, if you have DirecTV and
right.
you get the New York station.
No, they have these hit-the-wall women on there.
These women who do the morning news updates during the Today Show.
Some sort of lifetime contract, too.
They have already had kids.
Right.
These kids have graduated from high school.
Right.
These ladies, they are as old as, well, as Buzz. They're old broads, and I've got nothing.
Wow.
There's nothing against an old broad on TV.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer.
But fix her up if she's going to be
sure.
on TV.
I think TV people, men and women, TV people ought to be better looking than the average person.
Throw a coat of paint on her.
It's only going to get worse with the high definition TV because that brings out every flaw.
Yeah, Carm Soprano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the steaming undies for Carm Soprano.
Think so. Carm Soprano.
See, I like the girlfriend or fiance of the nephew. I like her.
Oh, she's a whore. She has that whore look
now,
about her.
I didn't call Carm whore.
Well, Carm never gets laid. Carm gets laid once a year. The closer
she drinks wine with the priest.
Yeah, the closer when she came to the father almost felt her up.
I think
time.
She's a hottie. That one that plays and that she's painted up like that.
Yeah.
But I think that even without the makeup, she'd look good.
Yuck. You know, there is a member of the staff whose wife reminds me a lot of Carm Soprano. As a matter of fact, that's her nickname now.
Oh, really?
There is a woman who is married to a guy who works there.
Is he a powerful man that works there?
Yes.
Oh, I understand.
I started to refer to her as Carm Soprano.
Oh, very, very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you walk out on that one on your own.
That's not an insult.
I know from you. I mean, but I think...
That's not an insult.
I think she's better looking than Carm Soprano.
Right on.
I do. I mean, I really do. I swear to God I do.
I don't disagree.
I think Carm Soprano, last night when I saw her on the award show, Edie Falco, did not look as good as she does when she's maybe in the kitchen sometimes. Whenever she's wearing workout clothes,
mm-hmm.
she looks
yeah.
good on that show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. tight.
Mm-hmm.
Very tight for an old broad. And where's Deborah Dean? Because Deborah
yeah.
Dean, who is also an old broad,
yes.
is a sales lady who just got rehired at the station. She used to sell our show like 8 years ago, and she left the station.
Sold the heck out of it.
She has just come back and joined the staff that she was just mentioning. Mike actually had to drag her back to get her to come say hello. She's a little microphone
shy. I wanted you to say hi to her because, she was a good friend of our show.
Yeah, she's a little microphone shy.
Yes, I. She didn't even want to, during the commercial break, come back here. She was shy to come back here.
One of the few things that she said to me... standing about 30 feet apart, where she said, I'm glad you like The Sopranos.
Right, so she's been listening. She still likes the show.
Right. I have lots of questions for Deborah Dean.
All right. Yeah.
If she would come in here. I think there's one. Well, first, I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably on everyone's mind.
She looks great.
Has she had any work done?
She looks that good.
Mm. I'd like to know. She has a facelift.
Mm-hmm. We're going to ask.
Have a tummy tuck.
She looks really good. She looks different. She looks different than what she...
Is it a new hairstyle, too, that she has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her yet. Thought she looked pretty good before.
Hi, this is Deborah. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name, your number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Deciding.
A lot. Bye. Recording.
Hey, Deborah, it's Don and Mike. Have you had your work done?
God.
I mean that. Would you tell us, please? Come in here, Deborah.
We'd like to talk to you. We'd like to welcome you back.
Robbie, you know what? Let me go get a caller 100. And you try to turn Deborah Dean's army. Get her to come in here. I'll force her to come in here.
For goodness sakes. She always was a big fan of this show.
She used to have wacky stories to tell us.
Yes, she did.
Like the time she went down and she saw some guy masturbating in his car.
Oh, God.
But you remember, that's her favorite story.
Now I remember that.
That's the famous Deborah Dean story.
She used to visit us on a regular basis in here.
Yeah,
right?
She found some guy beating his meat. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy, you are the 100th caller.
Yes.
Yes, what is your name?
This is Andy.
Andy, where are you calling from?
From D.C., Don.
Andy, calling 100. All right, I'll give you a choice here. You can either have the Soprano stuff, or do you want a complete tax preparation?
You know, I'm going to take the Soprano stuff.
Soprano stuff, you got it.
Yeah, look at taxes wait.
Soprano stuff, that's the shirt, the hat, the CD. Don't miss Sopranos. Sunday night, special time, 10 p.m. after the Super Bowl, East Coast, 9 o'clock Central, only on HBO. All right, you will play for... $1,000.
Wow.
With a secret celebrity laugh. Have you heard the laugh?
I have.
Good luck. You sound confident.
I think I got it. I was coming home from work today. I said, I've got to get through today.
Excellent. I like it when somebody thinks they have it.
All right. Good luck. Mike, you will sing like
God.
And we wish you
to speak.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the secret celebrity laugh. And since the last time we did the contest, I got the call from the third floor. Ixnay on the NK and Gray. But we'll do it again very soon.
Yes!
$10,000 the prize. $1,000 for you. Who is it?
Don and Mike, is it Barbara Walters?
No.
No. You were so confident.
Nope.
I was so confident.
Huh? Good guess, though. And don't forget, every guess
is a clue for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Don and Mike, you guys rock. Love you.
Thank you. No, love you more. Thank you. Hold on, please. Well, Rob Spiewak was gone during the entire...
She doesn't want... I don't think
entire contest.
Maybe she's starting a new policy where, you know, there are a lot of people back there, you know, they have the don't come into the studio policy. She might be adopting that.
But she used to hang out here all the time.
I know. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's... Now the phone's ringing.
I bet that's Rob calling with an update. Hello, Robbie?
Yeah, nowhere to be found. She's successfully hidden herself.
How could that be? Mike just brought her back right before the commercial.
I think perhaps she's being very cagey.
Did you check the green room?
I did. I checked everywhere.
Are you at her desk?
I know. Right now, I just flushed out the upstairs as well.
Where are you right now, Robbie?
I'm in Jim McClure's office. Would you like to talk and say hi to him?
What are we going to say to Jim McClure?
I don't know. How's it going, friend?
And now, have you been socializing with Jim McClure?
No, I haven't.
Or have you been searching?
I've been
vigorously.
Just like the Coasters thing. I've been searching.
The Coasters.
The Coasters.
Right, come on. Get back down here. Find Deborah Dean.
Find her. Bye.
Find her.
Bye-bye. You know how that search went. No, yeah. I'm not in here. Hi, Jim. Nice, comfortable chair.
You know that 100%. From Friday's episode... You know, we got going on this Jack Cassidy thing.
Jack Cassidy!
I'm Jack Cassidy, I'm bisexual.
Hello there, how are you? I think I'll let this cigarette just go.
I'll set myself on fire.
Oh, dear, the sofa caught fire, and so did I.
I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bisexual. We got the entire bio of Jack Cassidy, and we received a fax over the weekend from Southern California, from... Chapter 129 of the Jack Cassidy International Fan Club.
Ah,
yeah. There is actually
Jack Cassidy.
Such an organization.
Of course there is. I was a major star.
No, they didn't supply us with a telephone number, though.
Oh, well, foolish lads.
I can't imagine there's a lot of members in local 129 of the Jack Cassidy International Fan Club.
If they didn't include a number, how can we track them down, Columbo?
Lieutenant Columbo, this is Jack Cassidy.
How are you?
Come over here. Take that trench coat off.
Jack Cassidy.
Look at your supple buttocks. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
Hello, Peter Falk. I'm approaching you from your bad side. Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy. You know, I was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I went to Murray Slaughter, and I said, Murray, slaughter this.
Yes, sirree. Can I polish your head?
I'm Jack Cassidy.
I love bald men.
I'm bisexual.
Hello, Rob. Deborah's at her desk now, but refuses to come with me.
She says that
if she were to come into the studio, she would grow so nervous, she would faint.
Really?
Yes, she's swamped. And she sends her best, but says she would like to come by sometime in the near future, and I can't believe her.
Maybe we can just say hello. Just call her up.
I'm telling you, this is one ditzy sales lady.
Love that.
I mean that.
But she's wonderful.
She looks great.
Yeah, I mean, she does, and it's good to have her back. It's kind of like having, you know, she does. When I was saying it's really good to have people come back that have, you know, been here before.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Go tell her to pick up her phone.
Okay.
Would you please?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. This is Jack Cassidy.
Quick like a bunny, Rob.
I was also on I Spy, where I spied with my little eye the delectable Robert Culp.
Hello, Robert Culp. You look so wonderful in that khaki shirt. How about unbuttoning the top three buttons?
I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bisexual.
The letter that we got with this says, Dear Friend... So obviously they don't know exactly in what context we are discussing Jack Cassidy on this show.
Yes, they probably think that we're, you know, just being nice.
Right. Dear friend, join our Jack Cassidy International Fan Club. And then it has an address in West Hollywood, California.
Does it have a website?
They do not have a website.
Oh, dear.
They do not.
It's time for them to get in with the 21st century. Come on now.
However, they sent along a much more detailed bio of Jack Cassidy than we just got off the regular internet last week.
Capital.
For instance, do you know that in the TV cartoon Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, Jack Cassidy was the voice of Bob Cratchit?
Was he really?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Magoo!
I didn't recognize him as such.
Come here right now.
Hello?
She's just run away from me. She won't talk. She said maybe tomorrow. Now she says she's having a bad day and that the topic that you're going to bring up is embarrassing.
Okay.
Only embarrassing if she's...
She says it's not true, and I said, then this could be so easy.
That's a denial. We accept that denial.
Just ask her. I tell her there would be no hard feelings. Lots of women have had work done. Has she had any work done?
She gave me a categorical no.
A no, okay.
And I said, you know, it's actually quite flattering to think that you look so good that you must have had the assistance of a surgeon. And she says, no, it's embarrassing and it's been a bad day.
It's been a bad day. Is she happy to be back here, Rob?
She looks delighted, except when she sees me.
Are you looking at her right now?
I can't see her. No, she's gone to hide at her desk. She has a desk by Madonna's now.
Is she planning on an appearance sometime in the near future?
She said tomorrow, perhaps.
Well, go to her desk. Call me from her desk.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, wait now. How long do you think it'll take Rob to plod over to Deborah's desk?
About a half hour.
There he goes, walking very, very slowly.
Oh, hi. Look at this chair.
What a day.
You know, he's not the most assertive in these situations.
No, he's not, no.
He's not necessarily the best person to send back there because he won't just pick up Deborah's telephone and dial our inside number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he will ask permission first.
Right.
Which is why we still are not hearing anything from him.
He's very polite.
He is. Rob?
There it is. That might be him.
There he is. Hello?
I'm actually at the desk next to her desk right now.
All right. Okay. So can you see her?
Absolutely. She's annoyed.
Is
she mad at you?
She's mad at me, yes. She said, please leave me alone.
Well, tell her, is this any way to treat old friends?
Is this any way to treat old friends?
Well, I heard her friends, but today's not my first day. I'm really busy.
It's her first day, and she's very busy.
So, see if you can get a commitment for tomorrow.
Yeah. Will you commit to tomorrow?
I will talk to you one day this week.
Oh, she will talk one day this week.
When she does talk, will she discuss the man who is masturbating in her car?
When you do talk, will you discuss the man you found masturbating in the car?
No,
she will not.
No.
It was in the park, not a car.
In the park.
You see how these...
He's warming up.
This is why we need you in the studio, so we can set the record straight.
There's the laugh.
Right.
I remember the laugh.
That's nice.
So unequivocally,
yes.
There has been no plastic surgery. Ask her that, please. You can tell her that's coming from me.
Don would like to ask for a statement. Unequivocally, there has been no plastic surgery.
That's an awful telephone.
It's not your business.
It's not your business.
And they are not asking you what you've had done.
I've had nothing done. Look at me. I'm a mess.
Don's had nothing done. He says he's a mess.
I've had skin implants and breast implants.
Mike has had skin and breast implants. And, of course, you know about I've had my lips done.
Rob,
tell her just a yes or no at this point live on the radio would end this discussion.
A simple yes or no live on the radio now would end this discussion. Not answering.
Then tell her that makes me think the answer is yes.
He's busy. You remember how Jerry Cage used to look when he held his head in his hands? He looked like the most miserable man on earth.
Is that what she's doing right now?
She looks like.
Why does it sound like you're calling us from Zimbabwe?
I mean, Madonna's phone.
Well, what is the deal? Is that a hard line?
It is. It's rock hard.
Well, why is it sounding like that?
I don't know.
Call me right back.
All right, bye.
My God, what's wrong with this place? This place? Hey, are we getting new studios or what?
Yes, in March. Hello?
How does it sound now?
Same.
It must just be Madonna's phone.
Or it might be your dental work.
No, it's not that.
Tell Deborah
yes?
that it's... Tell her Jesus Christ is a compliment.
Jesus Christ is a compliment. Yeah, she's not even looking to me. Oh, and she's holding her head again.
Yeah, well, it might be a few days before we get her in there.
Trying to think, she's trying to write. She has work to do.
What is she thinking about?
I think she's trying to write copy.
Is she still friends?
Not copy.
Are we still friends?
Are we still friends, Deborah? Take me out of the equation. Don and Mike would like to know if they're still friends of yours.
Yeah, they are.
They are. You are.
Sure.
Tell her that's a smart business suit she has on today.
That is a very smart business suit you have on today.
Yeah?
It's a smart business suit you have on today. Professional, but very nice.
I'm sure she's had her skin bleached.
Have you had your skin bleached? No, we got a no on that. No.
Has she had?
Give her a break, Don.
Has she had her boobs done?
Have you had breast work done?
No.
They're natural and gorgeous.
Okay.
Rob.
I said that, not her.
Rob, that's you. That's you.
I'm sorry, Jody hates me.
And nothing done with the tush?
Nothing with the tush? Not a thing.
Not a
leave her alone.
Well, you know, this is a wonderful interview, but this sounds like we're talking to Bernard Shaw in Iran.
It's amazing that, you know, this is just down the hallway, the quality of telephone that we have here at the ranch.
All right, well, tell her she's always welcome.
You're always welcome in the studio, Deborah.
Oh, yeah,
There's the laugh. All right.
And you know what? David Heyline just came by and said, welcome back. And I think that's telling.
Oh, he's just a little, you know, walking around with his head set in the hallway.
Oh, listen, there's nothing more annoying. There's this sales guy, David Heyline, Dobie Gillis.
Mm-hmm.
This guy walks around with a headset telephone on.
And he, you know, he always is talking to somebody, and you think he's looking right at you, and he loves that little game where you say, what did you say? What? Oh, I'm not talking to you.
And the amazing thing is, it almost doesn't even look like a real thing. It almost looks like a play school headset.
And it might be. You ever been to downtown D.C. where you see guys selling fake cellular phones for $5 so that people can actually walk around and pretend that they have a cell phone?
And, you know, he's really up on all the latest emails. You know, he says, come into the office, and he shows me the commercial of the lady that gets into the car, lifts her leg up, and lets out a fart, and she doesn't realize there are people sitting in back of her.
How old what is that commercial?
It's got to be like 10 years.
Right.
And it's been on the net for a million years, and, you know, he's like, it's this new phenomenon.
David Heinlein, Deborah Dean.
Deborah, have you seen the commercial where the lady gets in the car? Oh, she's got a phone call. I know it's not Don and Mike because I've got their line. You can answer that.
Hey, guess what? We're going to be able to do this with Steve Goldstein soon.
Yay!
Oh, you know Steve will come in.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Frankenstein.
Hi, good to be back. I'm in charge now, Don. How you doing?
I got a promotion for you. Frankenstein.
So hot. You guys are sounding good.
We got a history with everybody here.
Everybody's coming back.
Well, tell Deborah she's very hot.
Deborah, you're hot.
She's hot. And tell her I mean this in a good way.
Hot.
She looks like if Monica Lewinsky was a good-looking woman, she'd look like Monica Lewinsky.
If Monica Lewinsky did everything, just bettered herself up, and she was 10 times better looking, you'd look like that.
I mean that.
You're the best-looking Monica Lewinsky in town.
That's a Monica Lewinsky haircut she has.
That is a Monica Lewinsky haircut.
It is.
Have you had any work done to your hair?
Good.
All right, goodbye, Rob.
Hey, see you later, guys.
Come on back.
Good roving reporting done by Rob. Very, very done.
All right, well, I'm telling you, that girl is a gold mine as soon as we get her in here.
Yeah, she has a lot of fun.
There is absolutely no room between brain and mouth. Whatever she says, she just says it.
It's a lot of fun.
And speaking of Monica,
yes,
I want to show you from the front story of this week's Globe, Monica's Big Fat Scam.
Okay, now they have the Jenny Craig ball.
You know, I was hoping there'd be a story like this, because when I saw those commercials, I thought that she was strapped in.
Here is the Jenny Craig publicity photo, December 28th, 1999, and you've seen that of Monica.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Here is the real thing.
Oh, good, 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 good.
About 10 days later. January 8th, year 2000. And they give you not only the front view, but they give you the back view. And I mean, those are
two totally different photographs.
Let me see. Where's the beef? Monica looks swelled in ads that aired January 2nd, but less than a week later, we snapped these dramatic pictures of the real Monica on Rodeo Drive. And then they have the ways that Monica appears slimmer in her ad for Jenny Craig. A streamlined pose.
Right.
Monica is always standing sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Flattering camera angle. The lens is below Monica's eyes looking up. Slimming clothing. Long black skirt hides her many faults.
Right.
And as you can see...
you know, they're the only publication where they get a shot of somebody's ass as they're getting into a car.
And that is
incredible.
That is one big time ad.
That is indeed.
Let me see. Jenny Craig spokesmodel Monica Lewinsky looks great. Touting her 31-pound weight loss, but insiders tell Globe she didn't change her appearance by dieting. Her trimming was helped by photo trickery.
Photo trickery.
They say that
it's a hoax.
Monica says she weighs 160.
Trickery.
The Globe says she weighs a beefy 192.
Oh, no! That is the best. That article, they've really gone all out. When I saw her, I said to myself, man, it doesn't look totally legit.
Let me see. When she started Jenny Craig, she topped the scale at 223.
Mm-hmm.
She gets $10,000 for every pound she sheds, up to $100. Mm-hmm. Up to 100 pounds, rather. $1 million. She dropped 31 pounds. But the ad agency rushed her into the studio too soon, even though Monica was still 15 pounds short of her goal weight. They wanted her to get on the air in time for the post-New Year's dieting boom. Although the pictures were not retouched, photographers faced with a weight loss postmodel who still looks fat were forced to resort to slenderizing sleight of hand to fool the camera.
Sleight of hand. They had to use magic. Magic and trickery to perpetrate their hoax on the American people.
And this picture, where they have Jenny Craig publicity photo, and right next to it they have the real thing.
Do you notice they've got a point there. Do you notice the blouse that she's wearing and where it's unbuttoned?
Yeah.
You see where that little black line is there on that pink blouse?
Right here?
Yeah, no, down lower, like right where
Yeah, you can actually
see. They unbuttoned it.
Yeah.
Which will make anybody look slimmer, I mean, if you do it that way.
All right.
That's pretty. Those photographs don't lie. Look at that. Jenny Craig, sign me up.
She does have big boobs, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most fat girls do.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have some big boobs.
Yeah, you know, she, who knows what she's doing now, but I mean...
City Talk.
Did they say $10,000 per pound?
$10,000 right. A pound.
Up to $1 million if she loses the full 100.
She supposedly has already lost 31 pounds. Although the Globe says they're lying about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Also in the tabloids, we have Kathy Lee's adoption nightmare. Great story with her and GIF.
Hey.
They have Kathy Lee saying, I can't believe you denied me this one last shot at being a mom again.
Mm-hmm.
And GIF says, let me enjoy my golden years.
Oh, the Globe. The Globe probably scrapes bottom better than most.
And then this one... is the best. Pictures. Stars without makeup.
Okay, very good.
Uh-huh. Okay. Pam Anderson, Rachel Hunter, Courtney Cox, Gillian Anderson, Alicia Silverstone. But the best, she looks like Drew Carey, is Bette Midler.
Oh, okay. My God.
Take a look at the picture of Bette Midler. I'm sorry.
Hold on there. Okay, but don't look at the other side.
Right.
Don't look at the other side yet.
Oh, my
God. Oh, boy, that is...
I mean, short, butch haircut,
right.
those big, thick Coke bottle glasses.
Oh, man, Courtney Cox looks okay. Courtney Cox looks like she does on the show.
Right. Pam Anderson looks puffy.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Hunter looks horrible.
Gillian Anderson looks the same.
Yeah, she
wears
exactly the same.
The glasses.
Right.
Then you have... Cindy Lauper.
That's not
a
good start to begin with.
Lisa Kudrow... Who must have been out all night with bags under her eyes. Julia Roberts, who I think is a dog.
Oh, no, she looked so hot last night.
Roseanne. Oh, have you seen Roseanne with her new coffee cake haircut?
No, I have not.
Angela Lansbury, Diane Sawyer, Goldie Hawn, and Sharon
Sharon Stone, really, take a look and tell me she doesn't need makeup. That's Sharon Stone right in the middle of that picture.
Yeah. See, the eyes look a little red in that one.
All these girls in the Lofer. I thought she looked like somebody's grandma.
God.
She's just awful. To the Lofer.
Angela Lansbury very well. I mean,
she's only as old as dirt.
Right. Well, they all look pretty rough, but I'll tell you, nothing takes a kick like Cyndi Lauper.
No, Bette Midler's worse than the Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, the Bette Midler's worse than, but Diane Sawyer, you know, to me, that looks just like one of those phony little, oh, I'm soaking wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, she still looks like she probably had some makeup on.
Cyndi Lauper, and it says, girls just want to have cosmetics. Songbird Cyndi Lauper looks ghastly, ghostly without face paint.
You know, I swear to God, it must be an interesting place to work at that club.
Here's what it says about Bette Midler. The formerly divine Miss M makes a spectacle of herself with these glasses and that headband, but she could easily be divine again. Just switch to contact lenses, get a new do, add lipstick and blush.
Well, sure. I mean, who doesn't have a day once in a while where they just knock around a little bit? But Cyndi Lauper,
but Bette Midler is wearing overalls.
Drew Carey.
Yes, her hair pulled up.
That's frightening.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine if she got angry when she was dressed like that.
Oh, I'd be scared.
Sure.
Mama, make the bad man stop.
Run for your life.
All right. Well, that's all I could find in the tableau. Oh, there they got Ted Turner's other women. They broke up his marriage. The guy who was Alf's dad?
Yeah, Willie got the DWI, right?
DWI.
That's only Alf.
Robert Urich says, cancer made my marriage stronger. Charlie's Angels. There's lots of pictures of Diaz. And Prince William targeted for death. That's it from the New Globe.
The Globe!
Gotcha. We're up on a break. We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike. Can you imagine winning $10,000 on the radio? Well, she did it, and you can too. Secret Celebrity Lab.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
I'll be back in a jiffy, Buzz. Roger, Buzz. Thanks, Buzz. This is a ticklish situation, Buzz. Are you all right, Buzz?
Oh, okay, there we go.
What's cooking, Buzz?
They fit.
I'll be right there, Buzz. I'm flying, Buzz. Buzz, where are you? I'll be back in a jiffy, Buzz. Okay, pal. Right, Buzz.